It's crunch time. It's a Tuesday, which means it's time for this.
You'll have to excuse my friend. He's a little slow.
Luckily, I have prepared for such an event. The lightning round!
It's a lightning round, and my friends also are very slow. Some think that I am too. Well, that's what I have to say to you.
All right.
All right.
Oh, boy. That's the best freestyle we've had on that in a long
time. Not so bad. All right. Lay it on me.
Just last week, the Warriors were on the verge of elimination, and we were all certain that the finals were going to be Thunder against the Cavaliers. Turns out you were half right on that, and we get to enjoy a three-day weekend last week watching the Warriors show that they are, in fact, the best team in the NBA. Hey, we shouldn't feel bad about picking the Warriors to lose that series. They had no momentum, and they looked like the worst team in that series up to Game 5. B, like Alice told us yesterday, what are we doing? They were the Warriors. They won 73 games. They have the two-time MVP. How could we have overlooked this? Steve, your longest streak of picking games right is one, and you used that on the Sharks making the Stanley Cup final. We should have known the Dubs were going to win.
Yeah, unfortunately, history and the facts and all that meant me picking Oklahoma City literally had no chance. I'm going with C.
Sticking with the NBA, the Cavs are stronger than ever this postseason. Their big three, LeBron, Kyrie, and Love, are healthy and have dominated the entire Eastern Conference all postseason long. They match up well with Golden State's big three of Curry, Green, and Klay. So who shuts down who more? A, the Warriors' big three has an advantage on the defensive side of things, playing tougher and stronger than the Cavs have had to do playing the East. B, Kyrie Irving is the biggest X factor for the Cavs. He's just as energetic as Westbrook is on the floor, and the Dubs after worn out from the seven-game series with OKC. C, while the big three trade blows all series, it will actually come down to guys like last year's final MVP, Andre Iguodala, J.R. Smith, Tristan Thompson, and others in games that, you know, they will have.
I'll tell you what, watching that series last year, I could not help but think what would happen if Cleveland had their other ball handler. Tough enough losing Love. I thought they could have overcome that. I'm a big B guy here. I think Kyrie Irving is not only an X factor here. I just think over the next 5-6 years, if he stays healthy, you're going to see him start to climb the charts and be recognized as one of the best in the game. All told, let's go B.
2 games into the Stanley Cup final, and my Sharks have put themselves in an 0-2 hole, losing both games in Pitt by one goal. Last night, defying the odds of actually getting 20 shots on net against the Penguins, a team that is blocking shots like they're wearing shin guards that are 3 sizes too big. A, the Penguins are looking like the better team this series. They're quicker and dominating in faceoffs. Sharks are playing just good enough to keep it to one goal differences. B, these teams are really well balanced. It's come down to a pair of bad defensive errors that have cost the Sharks 2 goals and potentially 2 wins. It is still anyone's series. C, the Sharks have gotten this far by having Pavelski and Thornton on the score sheet, and so far they've combined for none points. For the Sharks to win, both Big and Little Joe need to start scoring.
I tell you what, it's easy to say the Pens looked better in Pittsburgh because they have, and it's not necessarily just because of the 2-0 advantage. Sometimes the ice has looked tilted. I think without Martin Jones standing on his head early in the first game, and at times during the series, but the series is in Pittsburgh. There's that, and home ice advantage is not what it once was, but it matters for them. I think there was enough balance and I think enough flash from San Jose to believe that they can go back, hold serve at the Shark Tank, and even this thing up. So I'm going to go B.
Well, we're not all jumping on the Mariners bandwagon yet, or maybe ever. They have gotten their way to second in the AL West, but they seem to have a Jekyll and Hyde act going on. They can win back-to-back series against the Orioles and A's, but get swept by the Twins, score 16 on Tuesday, give up 14 on Wednesday. A multi-personality team like the Mariners is going to do nothing but leave the Tens disappointed in October, if not earlier. B, first season under a new manager can be challenging, and they look like they're having... They're showing promising performances than more bad ones. The Mariners are showing they are contenders. C, let's give Seattle a little bit more time before determining how their season is going to end. Maybe their midway collapse will happen in June.
I got to tell you something. I thought they were promising, but I'm looking at their schedule and who they've beaten. I am not willing to say they're dead in the water. So C is kind of the crunch exchange version of pending here. So I'm going to land on C there and say I'm going to need a little more data.